Fred Film Radio. Silent Film Festival, Pordenone, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 2017 Pordenone Silent Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Sebastian Kuta. Thank you very much for joining us, first of all.
Hi, nice that we are doing this interview.
You were the winner of this year's Collegium Award. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you very much.
But I guess, as the spokesperson for the Collegium, you could give a brief overview of what it means to be part of the Collegium here in Pordenone.
This means that you are part of a group of young scholars and archivists who have a passion for silent cinema and who come from all over the world, from Mexico, from Germany, from the Netherlands, and so on. And together we watch a lot of movies every day, and we meet every day at 1 o'clock for the Collegium meeting, which means that we have 1 hour to discuss with experts from all over the world in silent cinema, who are curators or archivists, for example, questions of the festival. And it means to be part of a community and to talk all day about silent cinema.
Now, you mentioned passion for silent cinema. Where does your passion for silent cinema come from?
That's a good question. I remember I was working in the cinema when I was 19, and once a month there was a silent cinema evening with live music, which of course is very special nowadays. And I remember seeing some classics there, like Nosferatu, Metropolis, the well-known films, and I immediately recognized that silent cinema is a complete film language for itself, and that it doesn't lack anything, and that basically sound films lack silence the same way that silent films lack sound. So it's a film language that is beautiful.
And now I discovered that you're also a filmmaker. Has your passion for silent cinema informed your filmmaking?
That is a very good question. Maybe it's a certain handling of dialogue. I'm mainly a writer for cinema, and I, for example, made one short film which is without dialogue. It's more a choreography about a boy who comes at home at night and his mother is sleeping. And the way he moves around his sleeping mother is to reveal the relationship between the two. And that, of course, is an idea that somehow could be a silent film, too. And from silent cinema, I have learned how bodies interact with each other on screen and how much that can communicate to an audience.
That sounds interesting. What's it called?
It's called Mine.
Mine. Back to the Collegium. As I mentioned earlier in this interview, you won the Collegium Award, which means that your paper was deemed the best out of all the ones last year. I'm sure the other ones were interested, including mine, because I was also a participant in the Collegium, and I'm back as a mentor as well. But let's talk about this paper. What did you write about? What was the subject and the topic that you picked?
Well, my question was, I was very overwhelmed by having seen maybe 100 short and feature-length films in 1 week. And since the film come from a different time than ours, and our time isn't perfect either, they include lots of sexism, racism, exotism, modes of representation that are hard to watch, because they include real violence to real people. And on the other side, silent cinema is something very beautiful from which we can learn a lot and which depicts empowerment movements or communities that are really inspiring even nowadays. And so I try to balance in my paper how we cope with a heritage that belongs to us and that we have to accept as a whole and that we have to acknowledge as a whole. But how do we balance like the good and bad sides of silent cinema?
In other words, you believe that silent cinema has a brutal side, but also a beautiful side.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the way it copes with minorities, or the way that women are exhibited as objects to be desired, who have no agency of their own in certain films. It's really brutal, and I think we have to call it that way. There's no way looking away from it. And on the same time, it's also very inspiring yeah. and still challenging today, because it enables us to perceive the way, the world in ways we would have never thought before.
And then how do you think silent cinema can be seen in the 21st century? And what do you think is the impact that a silent film can have on a 21st century audience?
Well, that is a very big question, of course. I can only answer with small glimpses or what I have learned. I think we can learn that that objects have a lot of power, because silent cinema is very focused on material things like trains and kettles and the way a hammer is used, or the way a pistol is shot, or the way a dress changes a person, for example. And I think from silent cinema I have learned to take more care what objects I use or what clothes I wear might communicate to other people. This is one thing, or to enjoy the beauty of water. I think silent cinema is very much in love with flowing water, and that is something that we can also enjoy in our real lives. So silent cinema is a way to teach us how to perceive the world, or how to gain pleasure from perceiving the world.
That's a great answer. And it's only fair that we end the interview by talking about this year's edition of the Pordenone Silent Film Festival. We've seen lots of great films, and probably lots more to come, even though there's only 2 days left. Mm-hmm. Very few days. What's been your opinion of this year's edition so far, and what are the films that have kind of grabbed you and you were impressed with particularly?
Well, there was one film from Viktor Sjöström, which is, I think, literally translated Who's to Judge?
And it's Love's Crucible.
Ah, exactly, that's the right title. And it's about a woman who tries to poison her husband because she does not love him and she loves somebody else, and it was a forced marriage. But she does not succeed in poisoning him, because he dies by chance, basically. And in the course of the film, the woman is accused of trying to kill him, or of killing him, and she wonders what was her part in the killing. And this moral question of the intention of killing somebody and the difference between actually killing somebody, that has intrigued me a lot, because the film works with the ambiguity of memory, and she herself does not know if she would have gone through with it, etc. So it's really a nice discourse on memory, on remembering things, on the difference between intentions and deeds. So it's a very, very philosophical way that really was very inspiring. And this year's edition of the Giornata is, again, very beautiful, because it is so rich. You can see travelogues from the Soviet Union, you can see European Westerns, you can see a program on Pola Negri. So there's a real variety of films that are well curated, but that also form surprising connections with each other. Like, there was one film that showed working women in Germany during the First World War, and another film that showed working women in the early 30s in the Soviet Union. And to have this connection, which I guess was not intended by any curator, was really eye-opening.
Thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking to you, and congratulations once again on winning the Collegium Award.
Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.